everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic podcast.
T Shouse, what's going on, brother?
Yes. Formula One.
This is a Formula One episode for Monza. So if people don't know, we split our episodes up when there's a double header. So MotoGP episode, Formula One episode.
Yeah, so just keeps it nice and clean and easy. I was sick of getting messages about timestamps, so let's do this. So much easier.
Yeah, I think it's better format. We'll see how it is. We just roll with the wind.
We do.
We roll with the wind at Motorsport Republica.
We want to thank our partners at Moto Heaven. Thank you all for the support. Bike Heaven as well for all your motorcycle and cycle needs.
Yeah,
and
check out motorheaven.com.au, yep. bikeheaven.com.au. Oh, support Aussie business. They got everything in there. They're the best at it.
Yep. And guys, we love this support on YouTube. And also, Patreon, we're doing extra chats. Of course we are. So jump on and subscribe to that. We really appreciate the support in that. So
really do.
James, a dominant performance from Max Verstappen. I didn't think I was going to see it happen for the rest of the year. And it happened fairly quickly. So it came out of nowhere.
Did you? Did anyone expect this to happen at Monza? Because he was... I know they really messed up their car and strategy in aero last year, but to see the domination from Max and like thank God, and I want to talk about this, but thank God Red Bull has him. But geez, like he just start to finish just about.
Yeah, I mean Martin Brundle said on the grid, he goes, "I got Max for the win." I said, "Max for the win." I mean, I had you know McLaren's race pace has been their strongest thing for the whole year. I think their low downforce setup was incredible. They've obviously done huge work on that because last year was atrocious. McLaren just didn't seem to have the same pace as they have. I'm sure it's going to come back in the next couple of rounds, but it was good to see a mix up. And I'm sort of glad there was that little bit of controversy at the end with the McLarens. Otherwise, it would have been a pretty boring podcast.
Yeah, I know. It was a bit of a fit. We just had a MotoGP podcast, but both races and Monza was a fizzer as well. And it's just annoying because Formula One, you know, they talk about having straights and DRS, but then they're just so, the cars are already so aeroed up that you might only get 4Ks more faster down the straight where it doesn't actually do that. Then you have a DRS train and, you know, so it. The good thing about Monza is it's such a spectacle.
And they shouldn't, they picked the completely wrong tyres for that round. They should have gone a step softer.
Yes.
You've got a guy, you know, three or four guys in the field that could have gone the whole race distance on that median tyre, which just shouldn't happen. So that median tyre should have been, you know, the hard tyre, and then you should have had a step softer. You got a C6 tyre, use it. I mean, I just didn't understand.
Or they could have, I think it was Lewis talking about, they should have brought that in, and then you could have had like a two-stop strategy, a two-stop race, which is what everyone wants.
What everyone wants.
So yeah, or you bring the asphalt in from Abu Dhabi, as DMV suggested multiple times.
Bahrain, yeah. I'll go into results. Max Verstappen, dominant victory. Yeah. Well done to him. And as you touched on, Red Bull would just be nowhere without him. Lando Norris, second. Oscar Piastri, third. 3 points he's taken off him for the world championship. Charles Leclerc, fourth. George Russell, 5th. Lewis Hamilton, 6th. Alex Albon, 7th. I had him in my top 5 and nearly got there.
Yeah.
Bortoleto, 8th. Antonelli, 9th. And Isaac Hadjar, 10th place.
Yeah, he's going back to it. Obviously, yes, very dominant by Max. Clearly, and we speak about this, and we're not groundbreaking. It's not a groundbreaking thing to say this, that Max Verstappen is the best driver on that grid. It's, I think everyone could almost agree with that. Like, we know cars dominate the sport to a degree. But Red Bull, if they didn't have Max Verstappen, would be in a world of hurt.
I think Max is the best driver we've ever seen. Mm. You know, he's there's more and more people coming out and saying how incredible he has been this year on that car. I mean, he's just making something out of nothing, especially in qualifying. I mean, him putting it on pole again, coming out of nowhere, and then hanging on, getting passed by Lando and then repassing him as well. I mean, yeah. Normally when Lando passes, I'm like, that's done, he's gone. And then they just had the perfect setup for him down the straight, just enough speed, and then he just did the rest. So it was a blockbuster start. Kudos to Oscar Piastri to keeping his front wing. He's passed around the outside of Charles Leclerc, you know, from the first of the Lesmo corners. Wow. I mean, that was just crazy from a guy who's winning the championship. You just don't, you don't see that. So it was a blockbuster start. We're in for a really, really good race. And then it just all settled down, unfortunately. And
which happens.
It does. You go into that the tyre saving phase to a certain extent. But yeah, Oscar. I mean, yeah, it was an interesting at the end of that race. So obviously, we all know we all watched it. But, you know, he pitted first, got the undercut on Lando, which wasn't supposed to be because Lando had that slow stop. And then... yeah, and then he let him back through, which, yeah, it's controversial. A lot of people today were saying, you know, how silly that was and how Max wouldn't have never done that. But it's just it's a whole different culture than McLaren, isn't it? So
what's your take on it? If you really had to try, it's very hard, obviously, but to take your Australian cap off and non-biased look at it.
Yeah.
Either way, you can obviously answer either way, but what do you think? What's the right thing to do?
Well, for me, it's... my initial thought is, yeah, you have to give the place back, but that's not motor racing. So this goes on to my further point. Like, I feel like this championship fight is just missing something. You know, there's two guys that are 30 points apart. I mean, and the reason why it's missing something is because of these scenarios. You know, this too nice. You know, they're, you know, fighting the teams, you know, manipulating things like this, and it's just... it's nothing like 2021. 2021 was ruthless, you know. These guys are similar, you know, similar times in their career. You had Hamilton and Verstappen back in 21, the fierce battle they had and how gripping it was, you know, watching that. And now, they're similar points apart from that, but nothing like that season. Absolutely nothing like that season.
Yeah, it's like everyone's kind of wrapped in bubble wrap.
Yeah.
And it's probably because, obviously, it's because they're both in the same team and it can... be a detriment if obviously they come together or whatever. Like, we know that. Where, you know, if you've got Mercedes and Red Bull, there's so much at stake. And if you really don't like each other as well, like, that's going to add to it.
Definitely adds to it.
It definitely adds to it. And you've kind of got this battle that's not really a battle, that's just kind of controlled. And as you said, manipulated, it's a really good word, is manipulated by the team. And, you know, you look at that and you just think, like, imagine if that was Verstappen. All right. Imagine if that was Verstappen and Red Bull cost him 4 seconds and then the lead to Lewis Hamilton. Imagine how much he would be blowing up and then the headlines from that and then just the collateral damage from that. But you don't hear anything of that because then the place is given back, which isn't motor racing, but it is kind of Formula One.
Yeah, it's a great point you make. Yeah, my first initial reaction was, yeah, he's got to give that back. But, like, it shouldn't be. That's not
Formula One. It shouldn't be, no.
It's not Formula One. So I was surprised, super surprised that Lando offered that on the team radio. He said, oh, do you want to pit Oscar first? Because he obviously got Charles behind and he was coming up closer on the fresher tyre. But he did it. He let it happen. And then that was a consequence. And I think Oscar had that little bit of a team radio, but I think he was, you know, he just knew that the fact he was going to do it. So.
Well, I think it was Martin Brundle sat down, if he was talking about it on the coverage, how he sat down with Oscar Piastri and he was talking about the world championship and being champion. He said, but the team comes first. You know, the team comes first. And it is their culture, and it's just a different culture to Red Bull, and it's a different culture to realistically a lot of other teams throughout history. It's clearly working, but it doesn't make the spectacle great for us viewers. As much as it's awesome to see an Aussie driver, if we've got two drivers that are very close in the championship, going for a championship, we want to see a bit of argy-bargy, a bit of hatred, a bit of something, just something spill over. And as you said, it's manipulated by the team. And I just feel like as just pure racing fans, we're getting manipulated by that.
Yeah, it's we'll see what happens over the next few races. But it's it was disappointing. They were free to race, but it was so hard to pass, wasn't it, at the end there with the both of them that had the soft tyre. One lap advantage to Oscar. So
yeah, this is the problem. Like we spoke about this last week or the week before. You know, these traditional tracks aren't Formula One tracks anymore. Yeah. They're just not. It's the tracks that are built, you know, for modern day Formula One is what's producing better racing.
Mm.
And it's as hard as it is to admit, it's the truth.
Well, they're designing the tracks around the cars, not vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably wrong. It's the wrong direction to go. In our opinion, anyway. Mm. Going back to Oscar, that first few laps, his racecraft is just unbelievable. And you have to give it to Charles. Charles rarely runs into anyone. It's always great racing. I mean, I think the way they were fighting and battling, you know, it was just so good to see. Just fair, solid racing, you know.
Really, like a millimeter perfect.
A millimeter perfect. You just don't see that, you know, in the grid. Like, you go back to the grid, there'll be... People are colliding. You look at Signs and BM, yeah. And we'll get onto that shortly. But just perfect pinpoint. Knew exactly where the car to go. Charles knew exactly how to defend at the same point. Mm. And just unbelievable racing. I love the first few laps of that race. Yeah, loved it.
I think it just shows how much talent those guys have when you can do that and have so much... For both of them, you got Charles in Monza in a Ferrari. Mm. So there's so much at stake. And then you've got Oscar Piastri and McLaren fighting for a world title.
Mm.
Two massive things are in stake, and then for them to still not collide,
yeah.
And provide great entertainment is very awesome to watch.
I still don't know how Charles didn't get a speeding in the pit lane penalty.
Oh, just
he went flying into the pit and locked both wheels. Not even a, I think it was had to be a Monza effect. There was not even an investigation into it. He would have 100% be going over the 80-kilometer mark.
The copper was looking the other way.
Yeah, it was. They put away the speed gun for the Italians, I reckon.
Yeah, they saw a red car coming there. Let's go through. Let him through.
Hamilton looked better. Hamilton looked fast coming through the field, and I had a bit of a theory on that. He, more of a low downforce track. Maybe braking and traction for him is, you know, something that is isn't as affected him as he's got older. I mean, braking, he's always been great, late on the brakes, always great out of the corners in traction. I think obviously showed with Monza and him coming through the field. It's these new circuits with these really, you know, 200-mile-an-hour corners and things that he's really struggling at, in my opinion. So, he looked better.
It's a Ferrari track.
Ferrari would have worked all their would have been working all year on that low downforce and still unfortunately didn't help. And they were fast down the straights, but yeah, just didn't have the raw pace, unfortunately. But yeah, disappointing anti-climax sort of race, wasn't it, in the end? So
yeah, it was. Like, there wasn't much going on. Obviously, you had the McLaren battle, you know, but that's just all fluff. That's still fluff. That's nothing. That doesn't excite me. It doesn't get me going. Like, you want to see an undercut or a strategy war or how Charles won last year on the one stop. That's what you want to see. Yeah. You don't want to just see manipulation of that.
I don't know why. That's the word of the podcast.
It is the word of the pod.
I started, James has taken it. And
I'm now hyper-fixated on it.
I just don't know why McLaren do it to themselves with that pit stop scenario at the end. I mean, they just do it time and time again to get themselves in these situations. They could have pitted so much earlier. I knew they were waiting for a safety car, but realistically, Verstappen had the safety car. He had it covered anyway. He already was up, I think, 12 to 11 seconds behind them anyway. So he had them covered. I just don't know why they waited so long and then just added more fire to that, more fuel to that fire with them. It doesn't make sense to me. Good for us. Hopefully that inter-team battle, as you said, becomes larger going into the end of the year. I mean, if they go in even points going into the last few races, there's no way someone's getting out of the way. There's no way.
Mm.
Has to be. You can't do that. You might have this one chance. There's new rules next year. One chance to win a world championship. This is your chance. You don't know if the McLaren's going to be any good next year. Whole new rules. You don't know.
Mm.
You know, one chance. I mean, you've got to look at Fernando Alonso's been racing for 22 years and he's won two world titles. I mean, you just don't know when it's going to slip away.
Yeah.
So,
and like for Formula One, it it might not be you. Like, it's the drive. It's the car you're in. It could be taken away from you. And that's obviously the new rules. Like, that's what it is. Like, look at Max Verstappen. He is, I personally think, by far the best driver on that grid. And he's not winning this world championship.
Mm. Exactly.
Fair or not fair, that's just how Formula One is. So, and that's been like that for a long time.
If you've got three or four races left of the year and you've got a chance to win that world title, you'd be doing anything to win it. Anything.
But, you know? Yeah. It'll be, you know... Who knows? Maybe it'll all come to fruition at the end of the season when there is a couple rounds to go and maybe it's tight. Like, there's got to be a point where, you know, the nice guy act drops.
I still think... I think Piastri's got the edge. I really do. Both in racecraft and also in qualifying trim. So I still think he is the red. I mean, he's 31 points ahead. Red hot favorite for this championship. And
just not flustered as much on the radio.
There's a lot of Piastri tracks coming up as well.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of Piastri tracks coming up. So he loves street circuits, you know, really good on these overseas tracks. So yeah, excited for that.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know. Like it's I'm waiting for something.
Yeah, we'll see. Stewards, so inconsistent. Behrman and Sainz just doesn't make sense to me.
T Shabs, mate, we all know that you're a Mr. Aprilia. You love riding. I want to know, where do you get your motorcycle gear from?
Mate, there is only one place I get all my gear from, apart from the guy down the street, and that's Moto Heaven in Moorabbin, okay? They are a family-owned business, which we love.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpoints. TC.
It always have the best prices. Yeah. And if I want to get something shipped to my house, it's free delivery over $150. So for me, it's really a no-brainer.
Right, so you get all the best gear. And then is it better than going to the dumb big corporate chains?
They don't care about you.
No.
You know, you can't call the owner of them to ask questions.
No.
Adrian's always on my phone list and I can always call him to
He's always calling you.
He is, definitely.
Yeah, I love it. So head to motorheaven.com.au where you never pay full price. They got all the big brands, super fast dispatch, ship anywhere around Australia. You can get whatever you want.
It's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
So you've got the guy on the outside turning in on the guy on the inside. The guy on the inside gets a penalty 10 seconds.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
I'm having a long-winded argument last week with Danby about how Sainz got a penalty on the outside, you know, not deserved. And then he deserves this one and doesn't get it. Like... so confusing, so inconsistent. I didn't understand. They're both they're racing incidents. Just put the whistle away. I don't understand what is going on with these people. They're just giving penalties out left, right, and center. Just put the whistle away. Mm. I mean, I just don't get it. I mean, if anything, Signs, you got to leave room.
Yeah.
You got to leave racing room at least. You can't just turn in on people and then he gets away with it. I mean, it may not be the steward's fault. It could be the rules written incorrectly, and I think that's more of the problem. But yeah, I just don't know where they go from here. It's so confusing. Nobody knows wheel-to-wheel racing what they can and can't do.
How much smaller are the cars getting with the new regs?
Considerably. Not like they have they used to be in 07 and 08, but considerably. That will change the racing again, I think. So that's something to really look forward to. In the next couple of years, is that the smaller cars will make a huge difference.
I think it will, man. They're just way too big. It's even watching like Charles and Piastri go at it. Like you're taking up the whole track and then some.
Mm.
You really are.
And a lot of those corners, like the first chicane, there's one line in.
Yeah.
There's not the two line in. You saw there's two cars that go in, and then one has to go skip over the medium strip or whatever it's called, and then there's an incident. I mean, there's just not enough room for two cars through there. So, I think we're really at this time now of these rules. It's expired, and we're really ready for some change. So, we've had some fun. I mean, 2021 was fantastic, and you know, Max dominating was cool to see. But we're at that stage where we need something different. As crazy as it sounds, but I'm looking forward to these new rules.
So am I. Like, we're definitely at that point where you know, we're just getting a lot of fizzes, and we know it's obviously between two drivers, which is fine. But even then, like, it's not even a hatred of
the thing is, Verstappen won on the weekend, and, you know, that should be exciting, but it still was. Just didn't have the same zing in it, as we keep saying. But I think that's, as I touched on, like, it's just too much nice. There's no hatred between drivers, and it's that's what's missing. Because the hatred between Verstappen and Hamilton, Toto Wolff, and, you know, I mean, even go back to 2016, Rosberg and Hamilton, they were on the same team, but that season was amazing, you know, because it was the hatred of each other, you know, it was so controversial. So it was so good to see. Why do you think Norris was booed on the podium?
Me, I don't know. Like,
it's a big thing to be booed by the Tifosi. Like, for me, there was no incident with any Ferrari.
He's never really had any incidents. Look, I think Lando Norris is trying to be there. He gets pushed a lot, but, like, we only see the English commentary. So, like, the Italians aren't going to see that. They're going to see their Italian BBC or Italian Sky Sports or whatever it is
Sky
that they
Italia.
Do. Sky Italia, that's what it is. But, like, it just seems from my side that he is getting pushed as the face of Formula One. And maybe that's just not what anyone wants. Or that's definitely not what they want.
Interesting. It's an interesting take. Yeah, I can't explain it. Like, the guy is sometimes not the most likable character, how he comes across. I think he's definitely popular in that young girl F1 fan scene. But for us, you know, it's just he's an unusual sort of dude. But so is Oscar.
I assume the Italians like a more traditional racer, like an Alonso, a Max, even to a degree, you know, a bit more old school. I don't know, maybe like.
Do you think they wanted to see Piastri second because the Italian last name? Because you know what the Italians are like.
Yeah,
like,
it could
you
be.
Know, there's people that are born here and they speak. You know, they think they're from Italy. They're not.
Yeah,
Damo.
Yeah. Do you know how to speak Italian?
Yeah, a little like, ciao and two grazie. You know, una, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei.
Yeah.
Nah, Damo's a bit more Italian than that. But yeah, there's a lot of Italians here in Australia that think they're still Italian. You know, so.
Yeah, yeah, and they like, you know, they that's fine.
Says a lot about the culture. I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine, yeah. But. I just think from the outside looking in, I think the Italian fans don't like a pretty boy. Where I think Lando Norris is a bit of a pretty boy, that type, where they like a bit more of just a hard-edged type of racer, motorsport star. You know, that's I don't know, that's my take anyway. That's the only way I could probably explain it. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't know. That's why I wanted your opinion. It was interesting to me that. He's been singled out. I think you're right. He's probably not that solid, manly, quarter sort of character we want to be the face of Formula One, but it's times they are changing.
The times are changing. It's like wrestling. Going back to wrestling, but like they try and push these certain people in everyone's faces, and they either accept it or they don't. And then obviously the Italians
don't.
It's
like a social experiment sometimes, isn't it?
But then they put Lando Norris in the Ferrari, and if he wins in the Ferrari, mate, he will be a superstar.
Dude, it's like they were hated Hamilton, like hatred, and now they changed so quickly.
Yeah. That's the power of that badge, man.
100%.
The power of the badge.
Bortoleto, another really solid weekend. Yep. He was up to, I think he was up to sixth place at one point.
He was. Did he finish eighth?
Eighth, yep. Yeah. Alex Albon was out sort of 12th, 13th, halfway through the race. Always just crawls himself back and hit a fantastic race. Bit disappointing from Sainz and obviously spinning out with Ollie Bearman. But just missing out on the points.
Bortoleto, bro, going back to him, he's just coming on strong.
Coming on strong.
On a eighth, as we say it, Charles Leclerc effect on a seventh.
But yeah.
Just doing as much as you can in that car possible.
Yeah, Brazilian guy coming through is great for the sport as well. I'm excited for the future that he has a chance. He has a chance to head up the Ferrari soon. You know, like he could be the next hot shot in that Ferrari team. So,
bro, Bortoleto, Sao Paulo.
Yeah,
the Brazilians jump on there. They love jumping on a Brazilian.
Oh yeah,
like
they are
huge at following back in their drivers or riders, aren't they?
Yeah, they love it. Tsunoda out the back 13th, Lawson 14th. They collided at one point as well.
Yeah, they did. Far right.
Ollie Bearman was unlucky with signs, in my opinion. Haas didn't look too good. And then obviously, yeah, Fernando Alonso, that was a strange incident. The
suspension failure.
Suspension failure on the outside. And I was just talking to my old man on Sunday about, we were talking about how high the ripple strips are. I said, oh, I reckon when they're going, you know, 200-300 Ks an hour, it wouldn't be that rough. And then bang, the suspension fails. So it must put some real stress through the cars, you know.
Shame for Alonso because he was having a pretty good race.
He was, yeah. He was sort of stuck behind that train for a little bit, but he pitted and it looked, you know, he looked like he was going to do something. He's actually had a probably a pretty solid last couple of weekends because Stroll, I think, was out the back as well as his normal spot. So, which is unfortunate. Now, the FIA, the group body has come out, Stefano Domenicali, and said that in the future they're looking at doing shorter races.
Yes, yes. I want to talk to you about this.
Reverse grids, yes. This sort of thing. What are your thoughts on shorter races?
I actually don't mind it. I really don't. And I'm normally a traditionalist. But I think with how the racing is dragging on at the moment, and if there's a lack of passing, which there clearly is, and a lack of excitement on the actual racetrack, it doesn't have to go for an hour and a half. You could make it 50 minutes.
Jeez, interesting. I completely disagree. I love the fact that it's a longer race. I love the strategy.
Yeah, but the strategy only comes into play every 12 rounds.
James, short-term memory. There's been years have gone by that it's a lot different. You got to remember the last couple of years it has been boring. No, it's weird. For me, it's like I love sitting down. I love being able... Like for me, MotoGP is just too quick. Like it is too quick for me. The only thing that saves MotoGP is Moto2 and Moto3.
Yeah, but...
If I watch all the practice and all the qualifying just for a 50-minute race, I'll be like, ugh, you know, it's not enough. So...
I don't know. I definitely don't agree.
But it's interesting for the younger, more Drive to Survive audience coming through. It is showing that the people have less sort of attention span. So
there's nothing wrong with a long race. Prime example is a Le Mans 24 hour.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with a long race.
Yeah.
But it has to be like Formula One in the past, okay, 4 years. Let's just call it, say, 4 years or longer. Like it's not built for an hour and a half races. Mm. Unless the new regs change that. It's at the moment, it's not like... How long was Monza last night?
It was the quickest race in history.
Yeah, it was an hour or something, yeah?
Hour 13.
Yeah, so, you know... And even that was a stretch for what that is. Personally, in my life, I'm trying to accept change and welcome change. And I don't think that it's realistically a really bad thing. Maybe 45 minutes or 50 minutes is too quick. Maybe an hour and a half, maybe an hour and 5 minutes or something. Maybe that's something better. But I just think for some of these races, they are dragging. And, you know, Formula One aren't scared to make those changes either.
They're definitely not. I love like Singapore though, because I know it's going to be like a 2 hour race. It's going to be like hot and it's going to be like a battle in the in the heat. I love that.
That's fair. And I totally understandable. Yeah. Bro, totally understandable. I get it. And something like that is at works. But I don't know. What I'm really failing on right now is trying to love the traditional tracks and the traditional tracks letting me down.
Well, I think there's two things. The tires aren't performing as they should. They're too good. We want to see things drop off, like, you know, fall off the cliff.
Yes.
We love shit like that. The other thing is the cars are too big and they're too hard to pass. I don't think the time of the race is the problem. I think it's those other two things they've got to work on. And I don't know if these new regulations are going to do it or not, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't think reverse grids and that sort of thing is going to work from F1.
Never does.
I don't think you need to change it too much. It's more the cars and the tires.
I wholeheartedly agree with you that the tires is the biggest thing. Mm. Any motorsport revolves, the tires are the sun and everything else revolves around that. It's just always been the case. If there's multiple strategies and it's a two-stop or a three-stop race, that's what makes it so exciting. That's what we want to see. Then, yes, it can be an hour and a half or a two-hour race because you might see someone an hour and 45 minutes in, you know, passing three people to win. Like, that's how we want to see it. But it's not looking that way. And obviously, the size of the cars is, you're right. Like, and we're pretty hard. Maybe we just have a different take on Formula One to a lot of other people because we kind of ignore the fact of all the social media bullshit on that side of it. And we only realistically try and look at Formula One for the pure racing side. And that's what it needs. And there's nothing wrong with having an hour and a half race if they fix those issues that you just said, which I completely agree. But if those issues aren't going to be fixed, bring it back to a 50-minute race.
Yeah.
But, you know, how do you... And you can't blame the teams for trying to go around these problems either. Like, that's what the best engineers do. They try and find loopholes and things. And
that's always been the thing with Formula 1.
It's always been a thing. So, like, you can't blame them for that, but... They got to change something, but it's like, I don't know. Why do they change it when they're already making fucking billions at the same time? Like, you know, I don't know. It's a confusing situation in my eyes.
Mm.
But tires and the car size, hyperfixation, James Shaw. That's exactly what it needs to happen.
All right, let's jump on to hot takes, Jimmy Boy. Unless you had anything else for F1.
Nah, that's it.
All right, Jared.Madsen.
Jazz. Your boy. Jazza.
McLaren have got themselves in an endless hole with these papaya rules.
It is a little bit of an endless hole, these papaya rules.
Yeah, I touched on it earlier. I think they've just, like, they really got themselves into an unnecessary hole yesterday. I mean, it's just, it may have not meant anything in the end, but for me, it's just going to play in the back of minds of both those drivers going into the next few races. They just didn't need to do it.
They're just taking the fizz out of racing. That's all they're doing. I don't know. Like, that's, I want to see some. Bring back the biff.
Yeah.
I just feel like Oscar or other drivers, like, they've had bad pit stops and this hasn't happened.
Mm.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it was just weird. It was a weird one.
And bad pit stops are a part of the sport, as happens.
Mm. It was just such a weird scenario because you had to look at, it was, for some fucking weird reason, Norris is telling the team to pit Piastri first. And I'm like, what's going on? It's like, oh, sir, you move through. Well, you pit first and just get him in, get him out. I mean, stop being ridiculous. Seriously. Nicolas.Pado. Piastri has been brainwashed so hard by the team over the last 2 years. The swap was so wrong.
It is wrong. Like, I just think it's a race. It's like a racing incident. Mm. It's like a crash. It's a racing incident. You move on. McLaren obviously didn't mean for it to happen, but it happened. And sometimes you get the rubber to green, sometimes you don't. But the problem is, if that happened, and if I'm putting my Piastri hat on, and that happened to Oscar, and they didn't swap him back, I'd be like, fuck, conspiracy.
Yeah, you know, like
they want Lando to win. Every Aussie would be saying that. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here.
Yeah, we got to sit on the fence to a certain extent. We're always going to have favourites, and obviously country as well. You know, it's hard not to have an opinion of these things when you support someone. So, yeah, it's interesting being both sides. But the thing is online, everyone is just on Piastri's favor. Like, everyone. I'm watching a podcast today who are English guys, and they're on Piastri's side.
Well, there you
go. It's just amazing how Norris has lost the fans to a certain extent.
Bro, I called this 8 months ago, whenever it was, at the start of the season, when he was complaining he was going to lose the fans. Like,
I think it was last year, actually.
He's probably just not the sharpest with his words, and I think he has to just kind of let things go as well. And if it doesn't work in his favor, just, like, be more ice cold. Like, stop being just such a little boy about it all. And, like, you know, even the start of the race when three lanes got turned into two and he was on the grass. Bro, it happens every single start of Monza since the history of Monza. Whoever's there hits the grass. Like, to be expected, man. Yeah, like, it's 3-2 and you're going up against Max Verstappen. Like, just things like that. Just be a racer.
Yeah.
You got second anyway.
Yeah. Brisky put a hot take in.
Yep.
Is Ollie Bearman next in line for Ferrari's seat when Lewis walks away? Yeah, I think so. But I think, for me, Gabriel Bortoleto has some X factor that if he still performs in this car until the end of the year, who knows? Who knows? It's all going to be... I think Lewis, it sounds like he's staying. So it's all going to be up to what's going to go up next year. Obviously, Sauber are going to be Audi. So it's a whole new outfit as well.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a big difference for Bortoleto.
So, but it's not a bad situation for Bortoleto because I guess you get the suss out. He's got a year in the Audi if he's performing there. And then you by then, you're going to know who's nailed these new regs.
Whether it's
Mercedes or Red Bull or whatever.
Well, it's like...
And then he could be in the hot seat for that young gun, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting. I mean, there's some real talent coming through. Lindblad from F2 was a bit of a bowling ball in F2, unfortunately, on the weekend.
Bit of an Aaron Kinnett.
Oh, he had two massive incidents. He just flew into the side of people, like, so uncharacteristic from him.
I love it. Isn't he my new favorite driver?
Yeah, it was.
There's a launch yourself into someone.
It was funny to see. It was. But yeah, there's some real talent coming through F2.
Don't you think it's crazy just a crash in Formula One or F2? Just the amount of money that crash.
Oh, it's
like generates. I know. It's cost the team so much money.
And they're all paid. Like, a lot of that is just money from the drivers as well coming through. It's a real rich sport.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it for F1 tonight, Jimmy.
Nice and quick, mate. I like it.
Yeah.
Like Monza.
Like Monza, the quickest F1 podcast we've had. We'll see you guys, I suppose, in the next couple of weeks in F1 and then next week for MotoGP. So.
Beautiful. Thanks for listening. Patreon now.
Yes, jump on for extra chats, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.